There are things in the Bible that we learn that are precious. They're precious. Webster's 1828 dictionary gives three definitions of the word precious: of great price, costly. Number two, of great value or worth, very valuable. And then number three, highly valued, much esteemed. The first thing we see in the Bible that is precious are jewels, precious stones. Genesis 24, 53, 2 Samuel 12, 30, 1 Kings chapter 10 talk about precious stones, precious jewels, things that are precious. If a man is going to propose to a wife, he usually goes out and finds a precious stone called a cubic zirconia. Some of you did it and your wives haven't found out. You better get down and get a real one, amen? No, he gets a precious stone, a diamond. I remember when I was going to select my wife's diamond, and like all young men getting married, budget was tight, but this was important, amen? And I remember looking at it, and the man told me, he said, look, I've got a bigger stone I want you to look at. And I looked at that bigger stone, and you know, you could put on that eye loop and look in there, and it had a big coal flaw in it. You've ever seen those kind of marks, amen? Some of you men know what I'm doing. Bless God, you went all the way for your wife. Amen. And then he said, but I've got a smaller stone that's perfect. And I looked in and there was no marks. And I said, I'll take that one. That one's special. Amen. Precious. Talks about stones. You know, in 1 Samuel chapter 3, 1, we learn about something else that's precious. We'll talk a little bit about it later. But it says, in those days, the word of God was, and you know what it meant? It meant rare. It meant, by the way, can I say those old days of 1 Samuel chapter 3 are getting more and more the days of 2012. No, not that we're in any short supply of the Word of God. Listen, in America, we've got all the Bibles we could ever want. Not in foreign countries, Miss Barb. It's rare. But you know what else? It's really rare. It's really precious. It's precious in people that will listen to it and do what it says. Listen, I joked this morning, and you folks were great sports this morning, by the way. And I had people tell me, said, Pastor, even on that submitting to civil authority and paying your taxes as pastor, we need messages that uphold and uplift the Word of God instead of what we think. Amen. And listen, the Word of God was precious. You know what's something else I thought about it, Mrs. Kidd, about your dear husband? Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of His saints. You know, it's a precious thing to God when one of His saints passes off the scene. You know, I think of especially those of you that have had to deal with the loss of sudden death. And there truly is no grief like the grief of a sudden, unexpected death. Do you know God preciously, preciously cradles that one that He loves and escorts him to glory? Precious in the sight of the Lord. I think of some that have gone on to glory. I think of old Dr. Malone. And Dr. Malone, he used to kid all the time. He said his mother was 102 when she passed away. 102. And he said his father, my father lived to be 94 years old and didn't have one good health habit. He ate everything you weren't supposed to eat. And he drank everything you weren't supposed to drink. And he did this and he did that. And he lived to be 94. So he said, I think I'm going to be around a while. Amen. He lived to be 91, and I think how precious it was when Dr. Malone breathed out his last breath and he met his Lord for the first time. You know, I thinking about that in our Sunday school class today, and we're talking about the deity of Christ. And the deity of Christ, it's not going to sell a lot of how-to books, Brother Tom. Amen. It's not going to sell a lot of It's not going to make up an exciting series of sermons to try to help you change your life. But I'll tell you what it is. It's a fundamental doctrine of the Christian faith that Jesus Christ is God. And we were looking at that, remembering that story of when Thomas said, I'm not going to believe, amen. And Jesus appeared and he said, peace be unto you. Go ahead and put your hands in the prints. Put your hand in the side and be not faithless but believing. And Thomas fell down and confessed, my Lord and my God. And then Jesus looked at him and said, Thomas, blessed are you because you have seen and believed. But blessed are they that have not seen and have yet believed. Well, I've never seen him with my eyes, Brother Becker, but one day I'm gonna, and it's a precious thing when God's saints pass off the scene. The jewels are precious. God's word's precious. The death of His saints. You know, go over to Psalm 139. You want to see something? This will light your candle right here. Psalm chapter 139. Psalm 139. Look, if you would. Oh, Psalm 139. Verse 15, look at verse 15. It says, my substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance being yet being unperfect. I think about that. I've been, when my wife and I will go to Myers or Sam's Club, we'll come back the back way down Lawrence, and then we'll come past Walmart, and we'll see the Planned Parenthood Clinic. And for 30 days, there have been people up with signs just saying life. Life, being yet unperfect, it says here. And in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. Look at verse 17, folks. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God. You know, it's just hard for us to fathom. I remember what it was to be a working a job and having tasks that really required a lot of mind work. You had to have your head in the game. And I wanted to be praying and I wanted to be, you know, thinking of other people. But boy, that's what my job, and my boss paid me to do a job, and that's what I'm supposed to do. Amen. Now, if you have a job where you can sweep, watch out, they're floating, amen. You have a job where you can sweep or do something like that, where you can think. Miss Kim and I were talking last week. She was talking about one of the parts of the job where you're stamping tracks, where she's like, I could pray for people and stuff like that. But I think about that. I think of how tunnel vision I would be in my job. But you know, God thinks about all of us all day long. And you know what kind of thoughts they are? Precious thoughts. You read about it in Jeremiah chapter 29, verses 11 through 13. He says, for I know the thoughts that I think towards you, thoughts of peace and not of evil. But so many times we get it wrong. We think that God has just got His eyes on us because He's just waiting for us to mess up. Far from the truth, ladies and gentlemen. He's got His eyes on us because He can't take His eyes off us. He loves us so much. His thoughts are precious to us. God thinks about us. Amen. How wonderful is that? Something else. Go over to Proverbs chapter 20, verse 15. And we'll just look at a couple more before we really get into the message tonight. Just all this is introduction. Amen. Proverbs chapter 20 and verse number 15. Something else that's precious. Amen. Proverbs 20, 15 says there that there is gold and a multitude of rubies, and we've already talked about how those things are precious, amen. But the lips of knowledge are a precious jewel. Hey, young people, listen up here for a second. You ought to get around some of our senior saints and learn from them. Because the lips of knowledge are a precious jewel. They're not here tonight, so I can pick on them. By the way, I'd pick on them if I was here. Somebody I absolutely, absolutely have always enjoyed every time of fellowship that I've been in their presence is Brother Hugh Holland. That man is one of the wisest men you will ever meet in your entire life. I mean that. If they were here, he'd be bowing his head right now and looking to pick up some papers. I'm telling you what, that man is full of wisdom. You know why? Because he told me, here's the key. I set out to obey the Bible. In all my business dealings that I've ever had, I sought to, and I, you know what? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Amen. So the thoughts of God, the words of knowledge, the death of His saints, God's Word, jewels. How about the New Testament? 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter number 3 in the New Testament. And I'm just going to go ahead and read it. If you're a little slow getting there, that's all right. It says, "Now if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, and precious stones, or wood, hay, and stubble." What's God talking about here? He's talking about the judgment seat of Christ. He's talking about our works for God. Brother Terry mentioned it. If you're depending on your works, any works, to get saved, your righteousness is as filthy rags. But I'm here to tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. God not only desires to save us, but one day He is going to reward us accordingly to our works. He said, those of you that serve God because you love Him, those of you that serve God out of a pure heart, those of you that serve God not for the pat on the back, but to obey Him, those are gold, silver, and precious stones. Oh, the others are wood, hay, and stubble. And one day our works are going to be judged, and some are going to come out precious. Praise the Lord for that. What a God. God would be just to condemn us to hell. And yet He gives us heaven. And yet He rewards us. Amazing. Amazing. You know what else He says almost in our text there in 1 Peter? 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 7. Something else that's precious. He says, "Wherein now," verse 6, "ye greatly rejoice, though for a season, if need be, in you're in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found to the praise and honor and glory." You know what? In your life, and I don't like this, and you may not like this, and it doesn't matter whether we like it or not, it matters what God says, trials are precious. Trials bring us to our knees. Trials bring us to the very throne room of heaven. Trials are precious. You say, "Pastor, but I don't like the trials." God didn't ask you to like them. God just asked you to allow Him to show you some things through the trial, in the midst of the trial, and especially after the trial. He shows us so much. Trials are precious. Just over probably a page, 2 Peter 1:1, something else that's precious. 2 Peter 1:1. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ. By the way, that's the order, Brother Hendershot. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle. Said, "It's nice that I'm an apostle, but I'd rather be a servant." Amen. "To them that have obtained like precious faith." You know, your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ is a precious thing. It's the most precious thing. It's going to be the difference between heaven and hell. Amen? It's precious. But you know, in matchless majesty, the sweet Lord Jesus Christ is our focus tonight. Go back to 1 Peter chapter 2. Look at verse 4. And of course, this is speaking when the Pharisees would reject Jesus. He was going to be a stone of stumbling to them. And one day, Brother Leonard, he's going to be the stone that's going to grind them into powder, he said. But here, like a stone in the way, here he is. He's that chief cornerstone. And the Bible says there in verse 4, he's chosen of God and precious. Verse 6 says, "Wherefore also contained in the Scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious." Down to verse 7, "Unto you therefore which believe, He is precious." He's precious. That's our title tonight. He is precious. Number one, let me give you the premise. Verse 6 tells us He's chosen of God and precious. Why is He precious? Why is Jesus? I'll tell you some reasons, and perhaps you could come up with more. I've got 12 here, Brother Hendershot. I've only got 3 points tonight, but I've got about 35 sub-points. Amen? That's becoming a running joke. Amen? I'll tell you why He's precious. We talked about it this morning in our Sunday school class. I'll not labor long. He's precious because of His birth. Do you know God made Adam out of the dust of the ground? God made Eve out of the rib of Adam. and then everybody else that has ever existed has been born of man and woman, except for the earthly body of the Lord Jesus Christ. He was born of a virgin. I mentioned this morning in our Sunday school class, if you have a Revised Standard Version and you look up Isaiah chapter 7:14, it says, "Behold, I give you a sign, a young woman shall conceive." Not very much of a sign, and all God's people said. Amen. Happens every day, amen. But boy, it sure is a sign if a virgin shall be with child. Amen. Oh, I'll tell you what. He is precious in His birth. Amen. Something else He's precious in. He's not only precious in His birth, He's precious in His life. Because of that virgin birth, it allowed Him to be completely free of the sin nature. And that's why you can look at the life of Jesus and know that He never thought one wrong thought. He never said one wrong word. He never did one wrong action. He's precious in His sinless life. We have not a high priest which cannot be touched with our feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. He's precious in His birth. He's precious in His life. You know what else is very precious to me about the Lord? He's precious in His work. I think especially, ladies and gentlemen, of His creative work. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And without Him was not anything made that was made, John 1:3 tells us. But you know what else? And of course, that's spectacular in itself. And you and I could spend an entire year of sermons talking about the creative majesty of God. But you know what else is, to me, precious about His work? Do you know Jesus was the son, earthly son, of a carpenter? You know what that means? He knew what it was to toil every day and labor and work. You know, sometimes you get at work and everybody around you is just ungodly. They're just ungodly. You think, my goodness, Lord. And by the way, that's why He put you there. Listen, light up a candle in a lit room and all it does, if it's in my house, is just give off a particular scent. You know, vanilla or whatever, or cake. But boy, you light a candle in a dark room and it lights up the whole room. Why, God had you at a place like that. But it blesses me. The fact that He's precious in His work. He knows what it is to toil and labor and work. He's precious in His work, His life, His birth. You know what else is precious to me about Jesus? His poverty. There was a time when men wanted to follow Him and Jesus said, "The foxes have holes. The birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay His head." Precious. You know what else He's precious in? His ministry. Several. His healing ministry. I told the boys the story last night in our family devotions. We try to do family devotions right before bed. And if you don't do that, just start it. Amen. Just start trying, especially if you have small children. I was telling the boys of the story in Luke chapter 13, I can never remember which one, about the lady with the crick back. And this is the way she walked. And you know, she had been that way for 18 years. And you know where she was every Saturday? In the synagogue. Imagine it probably took her a little while to get there. Amen? Probably took her a little. For 18 years she had been that way. And you know what Jesus did? He put His hand on her and said, "Daughter, you're healed." And she got up. And you know what she said? She didn't say, "Well, that's nice." She said, "Glory to God." Amen? Imagine that. That's what He did. That's precious. Read the stories of how Jesus got in people's life. Precious. Healed the widow's son at Nain. Healed Lazarus. His healing ministry, His teaching ministry is precious. Amen. To this day, men that revile this book will honor the teachings of Jesus. His preaching ministry. Not only was He a teacher, but He was a preacher. He came preaching, saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Oh, we could go on and on and on. His ministry. You know what else? Praise God. He's precious in His death. His death. There's a song, great song. "It was for me He died, for me He cried,
for me he bore the cross of Calvary. Hey, that's precious. That's precious, amen. As he was up there suffering and bleeding and dying, it was for me, amen. Precious. You know what else? Praise God for this. His resurrection is precious. He's the first one to ever conquer death, hell, and the grave. And the Word of God says, he says, because I live, ye shall live also. Hey, that's precious to me. Amen. Precious in his resurrection. You know what else he's precious in? He's precious in salvation. The fact that he made it possible for us to be saved. Without Jesus, without that virgin birth, without that death, without that resurrection, you and I are without God and without hope. So you know what that is, salvation? When he just simply says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's precious to me. That's why, Paul, by the way, it was precious to the Apostle Paul. And when he came to Galatians and said, listen to me, I don't care if I or an angel that comes down from heaven preaches any other gospel to you, let him be accursed. Why? Because salvation was precious to the Apostle Paul. He said, don't you add anything to it. Don't add anything to it. We're saved by grace. Amen. Praise God for that. All we have to do is receive the gift. That's precious. That's precious. You know what else is precious about the Lord? The premise of His preciousness, huh? His intercession. The Bible says in Hebrews 7:25, wherefore He is able to save to the uttermost those that come unto God by Him, seeing that He ever liveth to make intercession for the saints. You know what God is doing right now on your behalf? He's interceding. Satan is coming and rightfully accusing every one of us. I said rightfully accusing every one of us. Now, he's a liar and he twists the truth and he perverts everything. But I want to tell you, when it comes to sinful accusations, he's right on the money. No visitors from heaven tonight. Say amen. We're all guilty before God. And Satan comes and he accuses and he accuses. And listen, ladies and gentlemen, praise God, our advocate stands between God and him and intercedes on our behalf. He says, hold on there, sir. Point of order. I've shed my blood for them. They're mine. I've already paid for all those sins. Praise God. Amen. He's precious in His intercession. He's precious. You know what else? He's precious in His indwelling presence. You read Romans chapter 8, verse 9. It talks about the one who dwells within us is the Spirit of Christ. Spirit of Christ. Oh, how He comforts and convicts and works on us. You know what else He's precious in? Probably just a page over there. Go with me to 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 4. We talked about this. I preached on this when I was out in California. A message I had preached here called Spiritual Alzheimer's. Verse number 4 says, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. You know where Jesus is precious? He's precious in His promises. He's precious. By the way, those promises mean something to me. They may not be precious to anybody else, but they're precious to me. When He said, I will not leave you comfortless, I will come unto you. That's precious. Amen? You know what else is precious? When He said, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. That's precious. You know what else is precious? In Hebrews chapter 13, verse number 5, when He said, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. Hey, those are precious promises from the Lord Himself. From the Lord Himself. The premise of precious. He's precious in His birth, life, work, poverty, ministry, death, resurrection, salvation, intercession, presence, promises. By the way, He's precious in His prospect. You know, He's called the return of the Lord in Titus chapter 2, verse 13. It says, we're looking for that blessed hope in the glorious appearing of our great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Hey, that's precious to me. Why? Well, I've got loved ones on the other side.
I've got people that I served with and labored with in the Lord's work. And you know what? It's precious. The premise of Him being precious. So the premise is, why is He precious? Number two, look at verse 7, please, of 1 Peter chapter 2. And that was the bulk of my message right there. Amen. Just got a little bit more to go. It's all Bible and all God's people said. Why is He precious? The premise. Secondly, the people to whom He is precious. The premise, the people. Look at verse 7. Unto you, therefore, which believe, He is precious. Can we say this? He's not precious to our old nature that wants to do what it wants to do. He's not precious to our old nature. By the way, can I say this? He's not precious to carnal Christians that have walked away from God. He's just not precious to them. If He was, they wouldn't walk away from God. By the way, just because sheep stray doesn't mean they turn into goats. They're still sheep. We need to go back and reclaim them, pray for them, get them back in the fold. But right now in their lives, He's not precious to them. Can I tell you something else? It sounds a little strange, but someone else to whom that He's not precious to is angels. Do you know angels know nothing of what it is to be redeemed? That's why there's been for years a raging debate amongst preachers whether angels sing or not. You read the Bible, you will not find that angels sing specifically. I happen to think that they do. That's neither here nor there. But you know why they can't sing, "What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus." They can't sing that. They can't sing, "Redeemed, how I love to proclaim it. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb." But I'll tell you to who He is precious. It says right there, "Unto you therefore which believe, He is precious." And it's the James kind of faith. It's the faith that works. And that leads me to my last point tonight. The premise, why is He precious? The people, who He is precious to. And thirdly, the promotion. How do we show Him that He is precious? You know, it's important to show affection. It's important. My boys, we've mentioned it before. In our words, the three most used words are "stop doing that." No, that's number two on the list. Amen. That's close. It's usually just the word "no." Amen. And I'll tell you, really, honestly, far above all of that is "I love you." I love you. My boys will say, "I love you, Daddy." I kid with them. I tell you this all the time. You probably get sick of hearing it. "No, you don't." I'll say, "No, you don't. You don't love me." They say, "Yes, I love you, Daddy." And they'll say, "Why do you love me?" And they'll say, "I love you because I love you." And that's great at this age. But you know what Jesus says about love? "If you love me, keep my commandments." You know what He says about love? Love is not this gushy Hollywood love. Love is decision. Amen. And this is how we the Lord needs to know that we love Him. It's important that we tell Him in prayer, "I love you, Lord." I almost always say that in my prayer. But I'll tell you, let me give you eight quick things. Eight, Brother Hendershot, amen. Eight quick things tonight, how we show Him we love Him. Number one, eagerly recommend Him to the lost. Eagerly recommend Him. How, Pastor, how does that show Jesus that we love Him? Because the last thing that He told us to do was to "go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." So when we pull a gospel tract out of our pocket, or we go out on Saturday and we knock a strange door and we talk to somebody and we bring up the Lord Jesus Christ deliberately in our conversation, amen, we tell Him that, "Hey, I love you." Eagerly recommending Him to the lost. You know, I'm for having nice tracks. We have nice tracks. I'm for beautiful buildings. We have gorgeous buildings. I'm for doing things right. We have great Sunday school material. But it's high time, ladies and gentlemen, that we stopped worrying about the packaging of the gift and started giving out the gift. Started telling people about Jesus.
When's the last time you told a complete stranger, a family member, a neighbor that Jesus Christ loves them and wants to save them? Listen, we show Him, we promote Him when we eagerly recommend Him to the lost. Secondly, I mentioned this, will not tarry long. Number two, when we obediently follow His commands. That, listen, that's the brass tacks. Your words are hollow when your actions don't match up. If you tell God you love Him, show Him. Read, we're gonna study it here in, I don't know, probably a year and a half when we get into James chapter 2. Amen. Talks about, listen, if you say you have faith, that's fine. I'll show you my faith by my works. Somebody has said, what you're doing speaks so loud I can't hear what you're saying. By the way, you can take that in the positive as well. Living for the Lord, serving Him, trying to help people, that speaks louder than just saying, I love you, Lord. Number three, consistently prefer Him to the world. When you have to choose between the world and Jesus, which do you choose? Hey, this is for everybody, of course, but young people, listen to me. Consistently prefer Him to the world. The world is going to allure you. The world is going to attract you. The world is going to try to pull you away from Jesus. Hey, just remember, He's precious. He's precious. Consistently preferring Him to the world, saying, God, I'm going to resist the devil. I'm going to draw nigh to you. Oh, how about this, number four? Joyfully spending time with His people. I'll tell you, people have asked me, Pastor, how can I be a blessing to you? How can I help you? I'll tell you, it's honestly, it's so easy, you wouldn't even think it's that. It is. Involvement with God's people. Involvement. When we plan a retreat, sign up. Sign up. Go with us. Spend time with God's people. When we do an activity, show up. Come out for soul winning. Amen. Come out for church cleaning day. Get around God's people. And listen, I'm talking to Sunday night crowd. You're here for Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. Joyfully spending time with God's people says, I love you. You know what He said? If you say you love me and you don't love your brother whom you have seen, how can you love me whom you haven't seen? Involvement. Honestly, it's the easiest way. Just get involved. Just be part. Amen. We had, when I was away, wonderful senior saints breakfast. Pastor Donald showed me the picture and I loved it. He had to lean back because there were so many people there. Amen. Love it. Hey, that's an easy way. Easy way. Joyfully spending time with His people. How about this one, ladies and gentlemen? How do we show Him He's precious? By diligently studying His Word. Diligently studying this book every day. Every day. Every day, every day. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. Fervently spending time with Him in prayer. We're coming up to this revival meeting. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, we need the prayers of God's people for God to work. Amen. Fervently spending time with Him in prayer. Boy, here's one. Shows Him you love Him. Patiently suffering for Him. Patiently suffering. Why do I have to suffer? The truth is, I don't know the answer to that. I don't know the answer. But I'll tell you, I remember watching my dear pastor and his wife suffer the loss of their son. And I remember hearing them pray, Lord, we still love you. We haven't stopped loving you. I remember another time we were at a prayer meeting and this dear brother, I've mentioned him before, Brother Chuck Brewer, he was a deacon out at Mountain View Baptist Church. Miss Boston knows him, one of the sweetest men you ever meet in your life. He began to get dementia and Alzheimer's. And I remember he was kneeling in prayer and he began to call out for his daughters. He had four beautiful daughters. And he began to recite their names and all of a sudden he stopped. And there was a very uncomfortable, about 5 to 10 seconds silence. And he sniffled and he said, I can't even remember my own daughter's names. And then he said this, Brother Jim, I wrote it in my Bible, but I'm still here and I still love you, Lord. Hey, listen, ladies and gentlemen,
When you think about that, when you think about that, patiently suffering for Him. And then lastly, and we'll have our invitation, expectantly waiting for Him. Expectantly waiting for Him. He's going to come one day, folks. The Bible says, "Behold, what manner of love is this, that we should be called the sons of God." And it talks about how He's going to return. And every man, 1 John 3:3, and every man that hath this hope in him, what's the hope? That He's going to return, purifieth himself even as He is pure. If you're looking expectantly for the Lord to return, you know what? You're going to put away sin. You're going to keep short accounts with God. You're going to be trying to reach people and have an effect because you know that your days are short, but His coming is even shorter. Amen. Expectantly waiting for Him. So here's my question to you tonight. Is He precious to you? Is He? Is it just going through the motions? Listen, I. By the way, I do not dismiss that. I'm glad there are Christians that dutifully read their Bible, whether they want to or not. I think it goes right to following His commands, obediently. But my question is, when you open that book tonight, will He be precious to you? You know what He said about love? He said we're supposed to love Him so much that it makes all our human love seem like hate. I'll tell you, when it's like that in your life, and that doesn't mean you love your family less. Amen? It doesn't mean you love your loved ones less. That means you love Him more. Is He precious to you tonight? Sometimes, ladies and gentlemen, we just needed to be reminded how precious He really is. As we get into our daily grinds and we get into, fatherhood and motherhood and paying the house note every month and going to work every day, I think sometimes we just need to come apart and be reminded that He is precious. Father, we love You. You are precious. Lord, as we have our invitation time now, Lord, I'm not going to give a bit of a normal invitation. But God,